Today's shiur is Masechet Baba Metzia, Daf Mem Beis, and we will begin on Daf Mem Beis on an Aleph on top of the Amr at the Mishnah. It says the Mishnah, Mafkid Maas Etzel Chaveroi, if somebody asks somebody else to be a shomer for money for him, Tsarurum, and the shomer bundled the money into a kerchief, Vivshilam Lachayrav, and put it on his back, he put it like in a knapsack, or he gave over the money that he's been asked to watch to his young children, and he did not adequately close guard the home in which they are. There's a machloikis rishonim, how to understand this Gemara. According to Rashi, the Mishnah is teaching us one case where somebody was asked to be a shomer, and the shomer gave over the money to one of his children to watch, and his child, and he did not close the door properly. And it's all one story, and as Mefarshim explained it, what the Mishnah is teaching us, according to Rashi, is that even though we have somewhat of a shmiri here, the children do have some value as shomerim, and the house was closed, still, since they're children and the house wasn't closed properly, it's not considered a proper shmirah. Other Rishonim, however, understand the Mishnah to be speaking about two distinct cases. And the Mishnah is teaching us that one case is where a shomer gave over to his young children the responsibility of watching the item, the kodin. And the second situation is where a person was watching the item himself, but he did not watch it properly. In all these cases, chayiv, the shomer is chayiv if something should happen to this item. Shloshimer kederech shomerim. He did not perform a proper shmirah. Vim shimer kederech shomerim. But if he did watch, guard the item properly, then he's potter. And the Mefarshim point out, what does the Mishnah, the Rashba, what does the Mishnah have to say this din of Shima Kederech HaShemrim, that if he watched the item properly, then he's potter? Obviously he's proper. If he did his job, he's going to be potter. So the Rishonim explained that the Mishnah is teaching us that how do we determine what is or what isn't considered a valid Shmira? The way to make the determination is, but what is the minig hamakim? What is customary in that place? V'mshima kederech hashomerim. If he followed the proper procedure, if he did what everybody else does to be considered a proper shmira, then that is considered enough. Says the Gemara. Bishlam akula. All the cases that the Mishnah identified could be well understood. Shloshima kederech hashomerim. He didn't do a proper shmira, and therefore he's going to be held responsible. However, as the Gemara, El Tzarev Evshin L'Acharev, in the case where he put the item that he's watching on his back, why is that not considered adequate? My Havel L'Lamevid, what should have he done better? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Amar Kra, V'tzarta Kesa B'yotcha. The Torah says you should put your money in your hand, Abit Tzururin, even if you have the money bundled up, Yehi B'yotcha, for them to be considered adequately watched, you have to have them in your hand. The Rush says it doesn't mean, the Gemara is not to be understood that the money actually has to be in his hands. What the Gemara means is, as long as he's able to see the money at all times, that is adequate. However, there are Rishonim that suggest that the Gemara should be taken literally, that the proper Shmira is actually biyotcha. I also saw that the Mefarshim explained that the Gemara is teaching us that the Gemara is teaching us a very important lesson in life, that we should control our money rather than our money controlling us. The money should be in your hands, you should not be in the hands of your money. Another pshat that I saw, a person has to be satisfied with what he has. Afishatsurun, do you know what you should be happy with? Yibiyotcha. Whatever money you have in your hand, that is what you should be happy with, not seek more. Vamar Rabbi Yitzchak continues the Gemara. Lalam ye kaspa shal odam motzi biyodai. A person's money should be available to him. Shanem vatsarta kasa biyotcha. I saw him afar shim explain why is it so important that the money be available to a person. Because a person can do mitzvahs with money, he gives tzedakah, and that's why a person should have money always available to himself, that if an opportunity to do a mitzvah should arise, he should be able to take advantage. Continues the Gemara. V'am Rav Yitzchak, la'olam yashlam adam es ma'isav. A person should divide his money. Shlish b'karka, shlish b'prakamatya, shlish tachas yodai. A third should be put into land. Machlokes ton, what it means to put into land. Some say it should be invested into real estate, because real estate, as we learned so many times, is considered nechosim sheyesh lemachrayis. It's a property that one, that you, it has guaranteed to it. Another pshat is, as we're going to learn, as we get into the shir, the Gemara says the best way of protecting one's property is by putting it in the ground, and that's what the Gemara means, shlish b'karka, have it hidden properly in the ground. Shlish b'karka means in business, because as the Mefarshim explained, and Mashal explains, that's the best way to earn a significant earning on your investment. And shlish tachas yadai, because a person is supposed to have money always available, either, as we just explained, to be able to fulfill a dvar mitzvah, or sometimes a wonderful opportunity comes up, and you, if you don't have the funds, you can't take advantage of that opportunity. Continues the Gemara v'Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Ein ha-bracha mitzuya, ela b'davar ha-somim min ayin. Bracha is only by something that we can't see. Shenema, yitzav Hashem itcha es ha-bracha ba-samecha. Ba-samecha means hidden. Tana de Beir Bishmol, ein ha-bracha mitzuya, ela b'davar she'ena ayin shlotas, by something that can't be seen. Shenema, yitzav Hashem itcha es ha-bracha ba-samecha, it should be hidden. Why? So Mefarshim explain, either because if ayin hara, something that is not in sight, there's less of a concern of an ayin hara. Another explanation, this is based on the Rabbeinu Bechaya. The Rabbeinu Bechaya explains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does constant nisan with us. As we say, Al nisech shbecha yoyim imanu v'al nisech v'tav nisecha v'chol eis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly doing with us nisan. But Hashem much prefers to do nisim nistarim versus doing nisim gluyim, hidden nisim versus revealed nisim, because when there are revealed nisim, it's much, then people start questioning, was this person really worthy to have this nase happen to him? And it's much more of a shinui teva, changing the natural order of the world, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu tries to avoid doing. And therefore, Eina Brach Mitzvah El B'Dava Asamim and Ayin, things should be kept quiet, and therefore it could remain in the category of a Nes Nister. And that is why, the Mefarshim explain, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is why if somebody has something good happen to them, or somebody even gets a bracha that something good should happen to him, it's important to keep it quiet. To the same degree, if chas v'shalom, something bad happens to a person is not well, sometimes it's worthwhile to keep it quiet, again, because once it's publicized, to be able to creep out of that situation will require a nes galui, and as we're learning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu prefers nisim nistarim over nisim gluyim. Mefarshim also go on to point out that we essentially have the same piece of Gemara twice, but the Gemara's wording is not identical. First, the Gemara uses the wording hasomim min ayin, and then the Gemara uses the words bedover sh'ayin shalatas ba. And first, I'm trying to understand what is the difference between these two wording. Some say that there really isn't any significant difference. It's just where you learn it, where these two Tanoim learned this concept from two different words. Rav Yitzchak learned it from the word asamecha, which is connected to the word samui. That's why he said b'davar asamim and ayin. And Rav Yishmael learned it from itcha. And itcha means ena davish ena shaylet ba. However, the Yaakov wants to suggest that Rav Yitzchak takes a much more serious position than Rav Yishmael. Davar asamim and ayin means that no one saw it. It has to be that no one saw it. Davar she'ein ayin shletes bo can mean something that you that somebody saw. It's just not that visible. However, I saw the Ben Yoyada says a different pshat. He says according to Rabbi Yitzchak, el b'davar samim and ayin means something that's not visible. As long as it's not visible, even though you're thinking about it, it's not a problem. According to Rabbi Shmuel, not only are you not supposed to look at the item, but if you really want a bracha to happen, you shouldn't even think about the item. And that's why the Mefarshim say, the Pasuk says, the Gemara says, Haroisha Lahashir Yatspin. If somebody wants to become wealthy, he should go to the north side, as the Gemara says, because the north side is where the Shulchan was in the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash. However, others explain, Haroitza Lahashir, if somebody really wants to remain wealthy, become wealthy, Yatspin, he should hide, as our Gemara just says, his wealth. The Bnei Soscha explains, we know by the Seder, Pesach by night, we say, Tzofen Borech Halal Nirtza. So he explains it homiletically, based on our Gemara. Tzofen, if somebody keeps his wealth, tzofen, hidden, then borech, as our Gemara says, it will bring bracha. The only time somebody should publicize, somebody should do things publicly, is halal, when it comes to praise and praise God and serve God. Then, even though you did it halal, you did it publicly, still nirtza, that is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to accept if it's part of your avodas Hashem. And the Kli Yoker explains, Ena bracha mitzui el b'davish shesamim min ayin, he says, represents a fundamental part of our belief. We believe that the real good that's going to come to a person is not in this world, but rather it's going to be in Olam Haba. Now, no one has actually seen Olam Haba, as the pasuk says, Ayin l'rosa elokim zulasecha, and that's what the pasuk says. Ena bracha mitzuya. The real bracha that will come to the person is el b'dova asamim and ayin, only in a place that's really not visible. The real reward and glory that we will achieve is b'dova asamim and ayin, is after we leave the world, when we will get olam haba for the mitzvahs that we did in this world. Continues the Gemara. Tanan Rabban, ha'holich laminis groinai. If somebody comes to measure the grain, Omer, he should say the following: Yirat v'fnach Hashem alakenu, shetishlach bracha b'masi yadeinu. Hitzchalomet, once he begins to measure the pile of grain, Omer, he says, baruch hashaleach bracha b'kriyazeh. And as the Mefarshim point out, this bracha is said with Shem Malchus. And the Mefarshim go on to explain, based on what we're learning in today's shiur, that actually it would probably be better not to mention any bracha, because we just learned about davar hasamim min ayin, keeping things out of sight. The only reason the Gemara says that we can say it publicly and we could say a bracha is because we're going to do a mitzvah. We're coming to do a mitzvah to take Trumas and Maestris. And since our goal is to do a mitzvah of Trumas and Maestris, that's why we're allowed to sort of say it publicly. And that's why also, the Mefarshim explained, it's not considered a bracha of Atala. Because how do you know that there will be a bracha in what you're doing? The reason we can be certain that there will be a bracha and what we're doing, explained the Mefarshim, is because the Pasuk says, Hevius called Meiser Abaisa Oitza, Verikoitz Lechem Bracha Ad Bli Dai. So since we can be certain that there will be a bracha, that's why, and that's the only reason why we are allowed to make the bracha, because it's a Dvar Mitzvah that we can be certain will have bracha. Although, I did see that other Mefarshim want to suggest that even though we're not supposed to measure, and we're actually making the bracha before we're measuring, the situation that the Braisa is referring to is a situation that the person might not know exactly how much produce he has, but he does see that he has a significant amount of produce, and that he had a bracha in his produce this year. Says the Gemara further, Modad v'akach birech, if somebody first measured and then he wants to make the bracha, that's too late. Harezet tefillah shof. Mefishen bracha mitzuya, loy v'dava shokel, not something that's weighed, loy v'dava moved, not something that's measured, v'loy v'dava moded, not something that's counted, el v'dover hasomui mina ayin. Shnema yitzav Hashem itchas abracha basamecha. Am Shmuel, says Shmuel, k'sofim ein lam shmir el v'karka. The proper place to do shmira on money is only bekarka, it's only underground. That's the safest and only sure way to watch money. The Rishonim already point out that Shmuel was referring to his time. In his time, putting money in the ground was the only safe way of guarding it. Certainly, if that, as we said at the beginning of our shir, if that is not the minig, if the minig is that people put money into the bank or put money into safe or different places, that is certainly also considered an adequate shmira. Although, and the Mefarshim discussed this concept a number of times in the sugya we're going to learn, here we're clearly referring to a shay mechinam, that the halach is that a shay mechinam is potter on Gneva Aveda, but he's only, and he's chayv on Pshia, and he's only potter on Gneva Aveda if he adequately guarded the item that was put under his watch. And the Gemara is teaching us that if he put it into the ground, that is considered an adequate shmira. What will be the halacha, however, by a shay mesacher? If a shay mesacher was given something to watch, and a shay mesacher is chayv for Gneva Aveda, and he put it into the ground, will that be considered an adequate shmira? And it seems that the opinion of it's a machlokes rishonim, will that be considered an adequate shmira? I did see that there are rishonim that want to draw a distinction between a metaltlin and balchayim. The balchayim animals require a much higher level of shmira, and there were much stricter with a shay mesacher versus what we are with a shay mechinam. It goes along the same question. We know that a shay mechinam and a shay mesacher are both potter for einsim, and the question comes up: is the definition of an einis by a shay mechinam and a shay mesacher the same? What do I mean? The question comes up: let's say the shomer got sick. Chas v'shalom. So certainly, as far as a shay mechinam is concerned, that is considered an oinus, and he will be potter if he wasn't able to properly fulfill his shmira. What will be the halacha by a shay mesacher? Certainly, if something happened to the item that the shay mesacher is watching, he is considered an oinus. But what will be the din if it's not the item that he's watching that an oinus happened to? Rather, the oinus is on the person. The shay mesacher, rachman al tzlan, got sick. Will that be considered a situation of oinus or not? Is actually an interesting machlokes. Continues, there's a nice vart from the Imre Emes. The Imre Emes says, k'sofim ein lam shmir el b'karka, means to say as follows: what is the proper attitude that we should have to money? Endless shmir al bakarka. We have to always treat money like it's in the floor. Money is not what's important in life. Money is just something that we need to live. But money is bakarka. Money should be considered low, like the ground. Omer Rava, however, says the Gemara, Rava agrees. Omer Shmuel, the Erev Shabbos Ben Shmashas, that if somebody was asked to watch money, Erev Shas Bein Hashmashos. And the Mefarshim explained, it doesn't mean Bein Hashmashos, because certainly Bein Hashmashos, it's usur to dig a hole to hide your money, hide someone else's money. What the Gemara here means is, we know that Erev Shabbos after Chatzos, the Halacha considers it a time when a person is already busy getting ready for Shabbos, and therefore, even though we just learned, Shmuel taught us that a person is supposed to put his money, put the money he's watching on the ground, if it's Erev Shabbos after Chatzos and he's busy getting ready for Shabbos, we could excuse him. That's a Chur Rabbanan. Chazal did not require that at that point of the day he has to go dig a hole to hide the money. Vishal Matzah Shabbos. Furthermore, if he didn't hide the money on Friday afternoon and he waited Matzah Shabbos Shil Mikarinu V'loy Kirinu, not already Matzah Shabbos where he could have hidden the money and he didn't, he'll be chayiv. However, Vitzurva Merabonin, who saw the Dilma Baile Zuzal Avdalta. And there's a fundamental machlokes Rishonim and how to understand this Gemara, machlokes Rashi and Ravid, that have a lot of interesting halachic implications. Rashi explains that the Gemara is referring to the mafkid. The person who asked me to watch the money is a Talmud Chacham. And even though Havdalah is made in Shul, this person wants to make his own Havdalah. And therefore, I could wait Matzoi Shabbos and not put away the money, not dig a hole and put the money away right away, because I assume that this person is going to, I could assume that maybe he wants to make his own Havdalah, and he's going to want the money to put, to be able to buy wine to make his own Havdalah. The Ravid, however, says, the Gemara is referring to the Nifkat, to the Shomer, that even though the Halach is that the Shomer Matzah Shabbos should right away get to work and dig a hole to put away the money, he has a right to wait to make Havdalah first. So from here we see, whether we follow the Rambam, the Ravid, or Rashi's Pshat, that even though they heard Havdalah in Shul, there is some sort of a point in a person making his own Havdalah. And therefore, it's excusable that we should wait until the person makes his own Havdalah, or the person should be able to be sure that the person doesn't need it, the money, to make Havdalah. And that is the source for the minig in certain communities, that people make their own Havdalah, similarly people make their own Kiddush, and it's not just one person making Kiddush for the whole family. Others say that this Gemara is not really a raya, because the Havdalah was made in Shul, and even though the men were in Shul and they heard Havdalah, women weren't typically in Shul Matzah Shabbos, and that's why the person needs the wine to make Havdalah for his family. Furthermore, the Rishonim point out that certainly, if what was left, according to Rashi's Pshat, if what was left with me to watch is an item it's a lot of money, that certainly you don't need that much money to buy Havdalah wine, or it's not an item that's likely that he was going to sell in order to buy wine for Havdalah, so I don't have this excuse, and then I have to hide the money immediately. Furthermore, the Paiskim discuss, from here we see that, according to the Ravid Pshat, the one is not supposed to do Melacha on Matzoi Shabbos until he makes Havdalah. And that's why, according to the Ravid, the Shomer is excused from hiding the money until he has a chance to make Havdalah. The Paiskim discuss, however, what is the din regarding Lav Malka. And from here, the Paiskim say we seem to have a raya that Mlav Malka could be delayed till after, and you could do Malacha before Mlav Malka. Otherwise, the Gemara could have said that the Shomer needs time to eat Mlav Malka first and then put away then hide the money. And that, even though that's what the Gemara seems to say, the Mishnah Berura and the Ber Hetiv quotes the Arizal all say that not only should Malacha not be done before one makes Havdalah, but furthermore one should even refrain from doing Malacha until he eats Lav Malka. Continues the Gemara, V'edna Ike Deshchichi Gushoi. Nowadays we have people who strike the ground and able to determine where there's money hidden on the ground. Elam Shmir El Bishmei Kaira. The best place to put the money is on top by the beams of the ceiling. Furthermore, when there were people that would break the roof to see the money, to try to find the money, the best place to say hide the money is in the wall. Shmuel indeed agrees that putting the money in the wall is safe. However, the people who tap on the wall, the thieves, to tell that the money is hidden in the wall, either one tefach near the floor, or one tefach off the ceiling. We learned in the Mishnah Masechta Pesachim, chametz shenafla mepilus, if a wall collapsed over chametz, harei kumavur, it's considered as if it's been removed, and the person is not over by yirah, by yimotza, for having chametz in his possession. Rav Shimon Gamliel Oima, kosh en akelv yochel chapas achrav. It has to be so covered up that a dog can't search for it. V'tana, kama chafisas akelv, how much is that? Gimel tfachim. Hachamai, while we're halacha regarding hiding a item that I'm supposed to watch. Mi binin shlosh tfachim aloy. Amoy, hasam mishimrecha, there were concern about the scent of the chametz, and that's why binin gimel tfachim, it should be buried 3 tfachim underground, because then the animal won't be able to smell it. Hacha, however, here the entire goal is mishimechsui me'ena, to cover up the money, and loy binin gimel tfachim. The kama, and in fact the Levush says not only don't we need 3 tefachim, but we shouldn't dig a hole of 3 tefachim, we should only dig a hole of a tefach. For he explains that if we dig such a significant hole, a 3 tefachim deep hole, it's much more likely that the ganif who's looking for the money will find it, versus if the hole is not such a deep hole, it's only a tefach deep. Says the Gemara, "Who gavra dafka zuzi gavra chavri? There's somebody left money with somebody else. A sfina betzri for the urbani, and the shomer put it in a hut made out of willow branches. An ignav, and the money was stolen from the hut. So, as we'll see, as far as the hut being properly guarded for gneva, it was." But it wasn't properly, it isn't strong enough to, as far as fire is concerned. And says Rabbi Yosef, Afgabdil Inyan Geneva Niturasahu, as far as being guarded from Genovim, it's adequate. Linyan Nura, as far as fire, Kshiyasahi, it's not considered adequately guarded, and therefore it's a situation of Tchilasma Pshia, the Saifa Ba'inis, and Ischaif. For Rabbi Kiva Eger explains, what is the concept of Tchilasma Pshia, the Saifa Ba'inis? It's the shomer's obligation to watch the item, do the best he can. And if he put it in such a place that isn't the best that he can, he's going to be chayiv for anything that happens to the item. However, ikad amri, afgav delinyan nura pshiyosahu, even though as far as fire is concerned, this is not really considered a proper shmira. Linyan Geneva, as far as Geneva is concerned, Niturosahu, it is considered a proper shmira. And the halach is, Tchilas v'pshiv v'saifa ba'aynis is potter, according to this version. However, says the Gemara, the Hilchasa is, Tchilas v'pshiv v'saifa ba'aynis is chayiv. However, Taisus points out that even though we're saying Tchilas v'pshiv v'saifa ba'aynis is chayiv, that's only in a situation, says Taisus, where the Pshia had some connection to the oinus, like our Gemara. He put it into this hut, even though it's properly guarded as far as Geneva, not for fire, and then it got stolen from this hut. But says Tosfos, what would be the halacha if somebody put an animal, let's say, in a place that's not properly guarded, and therefore the animal walked out, and after it walked out, it died, and it died of natural causes elsewhere. So that would not be considered tchilas or pshia v'saifa b'aynis, because the death has nothing to do with the pshia. The time for this animal to die came, and therefore, even the man d'omen that holds tchilas or pshia v'saifa b'aynis, as chayiv would agree that here it's potter. Says the Gemara, "Hahu gaver the afk zuzah gaver chavri." There was somebody left money with someone else. Amalei, and the owner said to the shomer, "Havli zuzoi, give me my money." Amar, so he said, "Lo yedana heches fino." I don't know where I left your money. Asal kamei the Rava, they came with this situation to Rava. Amalei kol lo yedana. If the shomer says he doesn't know where he left the money, pshiyosahu, it's considered a pshia and he's chayiv. And as the Mefarshim, the two approaches I saw in the Mefarshim, how to understand this Gemara. One explanation is that the Shomer says, "I know I put it in a safe place. I just don't remember," this is the Meiri's Pshat, "I just don't remember where that safe place is." Says the Gemara, if you don't remember where you put it, that means you didn't put it away properly. Putting away properly means knowing where you put it. That's the Meiri's Pshat. Another Pshat that I saw is that the person, the Shomer, says, "I know I hid it in a safe spot. I just don't remember where I put it. Give me a day or two to find it, to remember." So the Gemara is teaching us, since it's a situation where the Shomer is responsible to return it here and now to the owner, saying that "I just don't remember where I put it and give me time" is unacceptable. Says the Gemara, "Hu gavra the afkid zuzi gabi chavri, ashlamin ala'ime." And the person left the money with his mother, the Shomer. And the mother put the money into her chest, the ignif, and it got stolen from that chest. Amarova, heched nedaina dina lahaidina. Let's try to understand how we should look at this situation. Namely, the day, should we tell the Shomer to pay because the item got lost? Omar, he has a right to say, kol hamafkid, that the halach is that whoever leaves an item with a shomer, adas ishtoi ubonav hu mafkid. The halach is that the shomer has a right to not, doesn't have to watch it personally. Included in appointing me as a shomer is that I have a right to ask my close family members, my wife, my adult children, the place can point out, my employees, my mother, as we're learning, to watch this item. The Ritva says that our Gemara is only referring to a Shomer Chinam. By a Shomer Socher, says the Ritva, this halacha doesn't apply. If I was paid to be a Shomer, then I have to be the Shomer, and I can't give it over to anyone else in the family. Furthermore, and there's a machloikas rishonim in the following situation, where I am a shomer chinam, and as a Gemara is now teaching us, I have a right to ask other family members to watch this item, and they were pesheya, and now certainly they become responsible for the item that got lost or destroyed. But let's say these people don't have the financial resources to pay the owner for the item. Am I absolved? Or, since I was the original shomer, I'll be chayiv? Says the Gemara, namely le'imazil shlimi. The mother didn't do a proper shmira. She put it into the chest. Amra, le'amrali de'lav de'deininu. So she said, my son never told me that this is not his item, that brinu. And as Mefarshim explained, why did she bury it even if she thought it's her son's? Because she thought her son is always in need of money. He's a businessman. He always needs the money. And therefore, even though she says, normally, certainly, if I knew that this was an item that I'm supposed to watch, I would bury it. When I thought it was my son's item, I didn't bury it because I wanted my son, who I thought needs the money, always available, should have it accessible to him. So why can't we ask the Shomer, Amayla Amritla, why didn't you tell your mother that this wasn't your item? Amar Koshkein, the Chamina le Didi Ninu, famous Darbuhu. I specifically wanted my mother to think that this is my item, because a mother cares more about a son than anyone else in the world, and therefore I knew that the best shmira that my mother could do here is when she will assume that it's my item. Says the Gemara, Ela Mirava, Mishtabi Ihu, the Hani Zizu Shlemina Le'imi. He has, the Shomer has to make a Shvua that the money that he left with his mother is actually the money that his, that he was asked to watch. And as the Mefarshim explained, if it was a specific item, object that he was asked to watch, so the Shvua that his mother will make will cover all claims. But here he put away money. How do I know that the money that this son asked his mother to watch is the money that he was the shomer of? Maybe it was his own money, and now he's saying, and that's the money that got lost. How can we be certain that's the money that he's the shomer of? Only by he, and only he can make that shvuah. Like any shomer that is subject to geneva, we learned, has to make a shvuah. We learned at the end of the previous year that there was a geneva here, or potter, and then they'll both be potter. Says the Gemara, who apotropa the Yasmi? There was a person that was appointed to be an apotropos for Yisoymin. The Zavon Latur Yasmi, that he bought an axe on behalf of the Yisoymin, Masre Labakra, and he gave over that axe to a shepherd for safekeeping. Lehavale Koch Vishini Lamechel. He didn't have, the axe didn't have any teeth. Umis. And the axe died of starvation. Am Rabbi Bechama. So Rabbi Bechama said, Heichan Nedayna Dina La'ay Dina. Namely, the apotropos of Shalem, should we tell the apotropos that he is responsible? Omar, Anor Levakri Mesarte. I gave over the animal to a shepherd. I did the job properly. So Rishonim point make to discuss two issues. That even though we've learned that Chazal were very lenient with apotropism, because we wanted to encourage people to agree to take upon themselves the job of being apotropist. Certainly, if the apotropist was negligent in doing his job properly, that isn't a reason to absolve him. Furthermore, the Rishonim say, why is the apotropist not going to be held responsible here? Because he didn't check if the animal has teeth. So the simple answer is, when you buy an animal, you probably could safely assume that the animal has teeth, and therefore you can't have a claim on him that why didn't you examine it had teeth. Or you could say that the apotropos could say that he's not an expert to be able to identify if the teeth are missing, especially the teeth that are missing, probably we're talking about are the molars, which he doesn't know how to open up an animal's mouth and to examine. So the shaman says, I didn't do anything wrong. I gave over the animal to the shepherd. Namely, the back resushlim. So the shepherd should be held responsible. You're supposed to make sure the animal eats. Omar, anabahadi toria kate. I put this axe together with the other axe in. Uchli shadoiloi. And I put food in front of all the axen. I had no way, I'm not responsible to make sure that the animal's eating. If I gave him food, I assume that it has teeth, I'm sure it's going to eat. Ask the Gemara. Michti. Bakra, Shem Sochad Yasmihu. The Bakra is getting paid. And as we keep on explaining in our shir, a shayim sochar has a very high level of responsibility. Ibai leliyuna. Answer the Gemara correct. If the Yisoymim would end up losing here, then the halacha chinami, then the roya would be responsible to them. However, our Gemara is referring to a situation, the lekup said the Yasmi. The Yasimim are anyway not losing out. Tashkechina lamari the Torah, because we identify the owner of the axe, and the Yasimim tell him, this was a mekachtos, that you sold us an axe that doesn't have teeth, and that's why Shakli Yasmi Zuzubinei, the Yasimim have a right to take back their money. Mefarshim asked, why can't the owner of the axe claim that there is no mekachtos? Because I assumed that you're buying the axe to eat, and for an axe that you're going to shecht, it doesn't make a difference if it has teeth. So the simplest teretz is, because when the axe was bought, they specifically said that the animal we're buying to work with, not to eat. one teretz. Another teretz is, then perhaps in other areas of halacha we would be stricter, but here, whenever it comes to yisayimim, we always try to do things for the benefit of the yisayimim. Elamai katan. So if the yisayimim are not losing out, who is the one that's demanding payment? Says the Gemara, mar the tar katan. The owner of the axe, the original owner, has a claim to the shomer, because he tells him, and by le leduin, you should have notified me that the axe has no teeth. Ask the Gemara, my medinale, why should the apotropis have to tell him? Maybe yod the mekhtasu, he sold him the axe, and he knows that he sold him an axe without teeth. Says the Gemara, the person who sold the axe wasn't the person who raised the axe. He was a safsira. He was a broker. The zovim mahacha or mazmalacha. He buys and sells animals. Hilkach mishtabi iu deloy aviyada. The owner swears that he didn't know that the axe didn't have any teeth. Umishalim bakrei, and the shepherd has to pay the mei bas bezol. He has to pay the cheaper bas bezol, which we always explain means 2/3 of the value of the animal. Mefarshim explained, why does he only have to pay the mei bas bezol? Why does he have to pay the whole value? So Mefarshim explained, on one hand, the roya, as we said earlier, wasn't such a big posheya. The reason he wasn't such a big posheya was because he did put food in front of the animals, and therefore to think that the animal didn't have teeth is something that really doesn't come up. Another pshat that the Mefarshim should say is that the value of this animal really isn't that great. How much can an animal that doesn't have teeth be worth? And therefore you don't evaluate and assess the value of this animal like all other axes. Rather, we assess it at 2/3 of the value of a regular axe. Says the Gemara, who gave the afke kishutsa gave chavre? Somebody left haps with somebody else. And Havlele Dedei Nami Kari Dekshusa, and he had his own pile of haps. Omlele Sarse, and he said to his assistant, Mahai Rami, take from this pile of haps and make beer. Ozel Rami Meidach, and the worker took from the haps that he was watching, not from the haps that he owned. Omrev Amram, Hech Nadina Daniel Haidina. Namely, the day Zal Shlim, should we tell the Shomer pay? Omer, and now Amrele Mahai Rami. I didn't tell him to use the haps that I was watching. I didn't tell him to use my haps. Namely, the Sarsis Zal Shlim, should we tell the worker to pay? Omerle Mahai Rami Mahai Rami. My employer wasn't explicit enough in telling me take this and don't take that. Says the Gemara. If the haps that he was watching were the haps that he owned were further than the haps that he was watching, and therefore it took the shomer longer time to bring these haps, in other words, what the Gemara is saying is sometimes we could see based upon the time it took the shomer to bring the haps, if the owner could have known. That means if it took the shomer too long, so that would be a proof that he's bringing the haps that he's watching, because those are the haps that are further. If it took him too short of a time, too little of a time, and his haps that he owns are further, then it's obvious that he took the wrong haps also. Says the Gemara, it's referring to the situation of the Loi Shah. Simplest way of understanding the Gemara is that these two piles of haps were right next to each other, and therefore the amount of time it took the worker to bring the haps is not an indication in any way which haps were brought. Ask the Gemara. So the Shomer brought the wrong haps. Still, the worker brought the wrong haps. Saif Shaif, Maip Seideka. How come he's using these haps, and he gets beer out of these haps, so he should have to compensate the owner of the haps for them. Amr of Samad Reid of Shik, Rava Davis Shikra Chala. We're referring to a situation where the beer became vinegar. And therefore, the Shomer did not have any benefit from these haps. Rav Ashi Amar is referring to a situation, Bekisi, where there were haps were an inferior grade. They were mixed together with thorns. And therefore, the beer that was produced wasn't a good beer, and that's why he doesn't want to compensate the owner of the haps for the beer that was produced with his haps.